You have to be extremely balanced. That was yesterday's teaching. Okay, so continuing in Torah Nun Aleph, in Sicha Nun Aleph, rather. Rabbi Nachman gives us some further advice about life. Ezeh tekablu meiti. Please accept the following advice from me. Shelo lahaniach atzmo lahaolam lahatos. Don't allow yourself to be tricked by the world. Don't allow yourself to be fooled by the world. Shelo yata oso haolam, that the world should not mislead you. Ki lo nimtza echad sheyeh lo keitz v'sof tov min haolam. Because there has never been anyone who had a good ending through his intimate involvement with the world. The world, a person has to be cautious when engaging the world. And the person who immerses himself more and more in this world, again, we're not talking about a person who's connecting to the Rabbono Shalom through the things of this world. We're talking about a person who's falling for the tricks of the world. There's a vart, both from the Chafetz Chaim, and it's also from, it's either from Rav Avram HaMalach, the son of the Maggid, who we mentioned yesterday, or it's from his son. Pasuk in Kohelet says in the fourth parak, you don't have this on the page in front of you, it refers to, Chazal tell us it's referring to the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara is referred to as a melech zaken uksil, which seems to translate as an old foolish king. Pasuk in Kohelet says in the fourth parak, better to be young and wholesome than to be an old foolish king. Which Chazal again interpret the old foolish king as reference to the Yetzer Hara. So old, the fact that the Yetzer Hara is called old, we get that. That was the Chafetz Chaim's conversation with the Yetzer Hara on that cold winter morning when the Yetzer Hara was trying to convince the Chafetz Chaim, you know, you're an old guy, take it easy, take a morning off, stay in bed a little late. To which the Chafetz Chaim famously replied, you're much older than I am. And you got up this morning to do your job, so I'm going to get up this morning to do my job. So the fact that the Yetzer Hara is considered old, it's not a chiddush. He certainly dominates many people, also not a chiddush. Why is the Yetzer Hara called a melech zaken uksil? He's a fool? He's not a fool, he's pretty smart. So the way that the Chafetz Chaim explained, and the way that, I think it was Rav Shalom Shachnu, the son of the Maggid. There's a sefer called Mashmiya Shalom. But it could be he's quoting from the Maggid, that's why, it could be he's quoting from Rav Avraham HaMalach, the son of the Maggid of Mezritch. But either way, the Chafetz Chaim for sure says it, and someone in the world of Chassidus says it as well, the same part. Again, in the sefer Mashmiya Shalom is the name of the sefer, where it brings it. That why is the Yetzer Hara called the Ksil? We're not saying the Yetzer Hara is a fool. We're describing the profession of the Yetzer Hara. If I say someone is a cook, right, I'm telling you what they do. If I tell you someone's a tailor, I'm telling you about their profession. So if I say someone is a fool, I'm telling you that's what he does professionally. The avoda of the Yetzer Hara is that he fools. Not that he's a fool, he's pretty smart. He's a melech, he's a zakin, and he's a ksil, he's a professional fooler. His whole avoda is to trick people. And therefore Rabbi Nachman says, please be so careful. Don't be fooled by the world. Don't be misled by the world. It doesn't end well when a person immerses himself more and more in the world, thinking that eventually the world is going to answer his problems. The world is not going to answer your problems. He'll be on his deathbed saying, I fell for the trick. And in his last moments, hopefully he'll have enough time to run back and jump into Hashem's arms. But a person who gets involved in the world, at the end, no matter how much anticipation there is that the world is going to provide him with that missing piece in his life, it never does. It never does. It never does. It cannot answer all of life's problems. It cannot grant all of life's pleasures. So Rabbi Nachman warns us to be cautious. Just go to source number 2 for a second. It's an earlier piece in Sichas Aran that I'm sure many of us remember this mashal if you ever learned the piece. You can't really forget this image. But he paints a picture in Oz Zvav, in Sicha Vav. Hayetzahara doma kamo misha holich v'ratz bein b'nei adam, v'yado segura v'ein adam yodea ma v'socha. V'hu merama b'nei adam v'shoa l'chol echar mani oches. Yitzhahara runs around in front of people with his hand tightly clenched, and he waves it in front of everyone, saying, "What do you think I'm grasping? What do you think I'm holding in my hand?" And each person thinks, "Ah, he's got what I want. He has my desire in his hand." And everyone chases him. Everyone thinking, no, I really have this figured out. I know what's in his hand. This is going to be exactly what I need." Each one thinks that he's clutching in his hand whatever it is that he desires. And then he opens his hand after all that effort trying to keep up with the Yetzer Hara. No, any day now I'm going to open up my hand and give you the thing that you're missing in your life. And he opens it up, and what's in his hand? Nothing. I'm just realizing, maybe you could say it like this. I'm gonna ruin the shiur a little bit, okay? Permission to ruin the shiur to say something deep? Yeah? Go to the last source for a second. Go to the last source. There's an amazing Kashya Sur Magid. We may have mentioned it about Pep, but I don't think we ever learned it together inside. When Yaakov Avinu goes to fight against the Sarah Shel Esav, and he gets injured. It was not a simple battle, right? Yaakov is limping until he comes to Shalem. Eventually he's healed. Shalem Begufo, Shalem Bemono, Bechulu, like Rashi says. But initially he's injured. And the Malach says to him, "Okay, I've got to go. Fine, you're no longer Yaakov. From now on you'll be called Yisrael. You beat me. Gevaldik, you know." So says the Kashya Sur Magid in Parshas Vayishlach, "V'shamati Omer b'shem Chacham Echad." I heard in the name of a certain Chacham. Perish HaMedrash, Sha'amar HaMalach LeYaakov, Higia Zmani Lomar Shira. My time to sing Shira, I'm very excited about this word, I'm going to tell you. My time to sing Shira has come. Whoa, hold on a second. Saro Shel Esav, a.k.a. the Satan, your time to sing Shira has come? So first of all, what's the story here? Like, why, like, all of a sudden? It's like bad timing, you know? In the middle of this like royal rumble, you know, Yaakov and the Sarah Shel Esav, and all of a sudden he's like, "Ooh, I gotta go. We'll pick this up next week." It's like weird. Right? It's a little strange. Like it just ends very abruptly. I have to go sing Shira. What's the pshat? Okay, he quickly gives him a name change. Yaakov, you know, he calls him Yisrael. Okay, good. From this day forward, you'll be known as Yisrael. You're no longer Yaakov, you're also Yisrael. Right, we've said all the Ramazim in the past. Yaakov plus Satan is Gematria Yisrael, because when you defeat the Satan, you own the Satan. So Yaakov 182 plus Satan 359 is Gematria Yisrael. We also explained a different remez that the Imre Noam brings. Yaakov plus Pachim Ketanim is Gematria Yisrael, because Yaakov went back for Pachim Ketanim. Pachim Ketanim is also Gematria Satan. So he fought the Satan over the Pachim Ketanim. Satan's Gematria Pachim Ketanim. He beats him. And therefore Yaakov has now elevated himself to the Madrega of Yisrael. But all of a sudden, the Sarah Shel Esav, this Malach, all of a sudden, Yom Shenivra Sarah Shel Esav Lo Yigia Zmanu Lomar Shem Shenilchem BeYaakov. Like all of a sudden, like such inopportune timing. Like you couldn't sing Shira yesterday, you couldn't sing Shira tomorrow. Like right now, in the middle of our fight, you have to go sing Shira to Hashem. And Bechlau, what does it mean for an enemy of Yaakov Avinu to sing Shira? Who's he singing Shira to? The Sitra Achra. Sitra Achra sings Shira to Hashem. Amnam says the Kashya Sur Magid where it's bolded in the third line. Hine kol malach einu omer shira v'zimra labor yisbarach shemo v'akala chesed shibaro lasos v'tzono yisbarach. Why does a malach sing Shira? What is he singing Shira about? Thank you Hashem for making me a malach. Thank you Hashem for making me, what? One of your messengers to carry out Ratzon Hashem. That's what a malach is. A malach means a messenger. An angel also, but a messenger. So thank you, Hashem, for making me a messenger to carry out your will. Ula mashal, for example, the malach Michael, kisha poel ritzona yisbarach. The malach Michael is the malach of the Jewish people. So when the malach Michael, he's the sanegura shel Yisrael, he's the defending angel of the Jewish people. So when the Malach Michal, Kishapol, Ritzon Yisbarach Shemo, Umelamit Zchus al Yisrael, when he is able to what? Be Melamit Zchus al Klal Yisrael, to defend the Jewish people, Umagbir HaChasod, Demashel Ezeh HaTachlis Nivra, and he's able to increase the kindness towards the Jewish people, for that is the reason the Malach Michal was created, as Omer Shira. So when he's able to do his job, he sings Shira. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the opportunity to be your shaliach, to bring chesed upon the Jewish people. V'chein kol ha-malachim. And the same thing is true about what? About all other angels. So the question then becomes, so what is the Sara Shal Esav? What kind of malach is the Satan? We don't think about it enough. He says where it's bolded, Hine Sara Shal Esav hu ha-sam, hu ha-yetzahara, hu ha-satan. Whatever term you want to use for the Yetzahara. The Gemara in Baba Basra says that the Yetzahara, the Satan, the Malach Hamaves, it's all the same Malach. If you want to speak more Kabbalistically, call him the Samach Mem, right? The Sitra Achra. This Malach, this Sarah Shal Esav, again, in the embodiment of Esav's angel, the same way Michal defends the Jewish people, Sarah Shal Esav. Esav being the moment of split between Yaakov and Esav. The birth of Klal Yisrael. So this destructive force that comes to what? To seduce us to sin. Ulasiro midas yotzor, to remove us from the thinking of our Creator. Ki lekach nivra. That's what his job is. If you ask the Satan to submit his resume, his job description will be to make you do averos, to convince you to reject Hashem, to live a life that is sinful and devoid of any ruchnius, of any yelukus, of any dveikus, of any mitzvahs, of any davening, of any kedusha. That's his job description. But here's the part that gets really confusing. He works for Hashem. He works for Hashem. He's a malach Hashem tzavakos. So how does that work? So says the Kajet Magid. You have to know this piece of Torah. It's a really important piece of Torah. It's good to know it as an idea. It's good to actually know where it is, to share it with someone who could use this piece of Torah. Amnam af algav shelakach nivra, even though the malach was created with the job description to make our life a spiritual living hell, to torture us, to tempt us, to seduce us, to mislead us, to misdirect us, all of those things, that's all true. That's his shlichus, that's his job. However, the malach does not desire that we should actually do these averos. You know why? Look what he says. Shelakach nivra, that's what he was created for. But ein chafet ha-malach hazeh be'emes sheyishma adam lekolo. Lasos hara. The malach in his heart of hearts, so to speak, doesn't want us to actually listen to him because he's a malach of Hashem. He's on our team. Raku mechuyav lasos pulaso ladicho. His job is to do his work and to try to push us down a path that is destructive. And he wants us to fight back, and he wants us actually to defeat him. His greatest desire is that you win. He's an awesome actor. His job is to pretend to be your biggest enemy. But deep down inside, he's actually on your team. That's why Hashem created him. It can't be that he's actually a bad guy. Why? As we used to quote very often in the Or HaChaim Shiurim, when we were learning Or HaChaim HaKadosh, for those who were here then, right? He often quoted this pasuk in Eicha, Ki me'ito lo teitzei hara'a, right? From bad, God, bad doesn't come from Hashem. Is Eicha or Eov? I'm getting confused. From him, no evil emerges. Right? So it can't be that the Malach is actually a bad guy. Hashem doesn't make bad things. Hashem makes sometimes confusing things to allow for Bechira, for us to have free will, to be able to choose. But it can't be that this Malach is actually opposing God. When we talk about the Sitra Achra, the other side, it's not Star Wars. It's not good guys and bad guys. There's only Rabbanu Shalom. Ein Od Movado. There's a perception of negativity, there's a perception of evil, and that's what makes the game engaging and allows us the opportunity to choose, hopefully correctly. The Zohar, in fact, gives a very strong mashal for this idea. Rak kimashal hazona im ben hamelech hanizkar b'zohar kadosh. This is like the mashal of the prostitute and the prince that the Zohar describes. What is that mashal? The kosav sham. Ki im yishma ben hamelech lezona hamasiso b'mitzvas hamelech. Imagine a king hires someone to what? To play the part of an Isha Zona. And to try to what? To trap the prince. To lure the prince into immoral behavior. Now the Zona actually is a very loyal subject of the king. And she obviously believes very much in the kingdom. She respects the king deeply. And she knows it's the king's fervent desire that what? That one day the prince will be the one to what? To take over. But the king wants to test his son's resolve to see, is he strong? Is he a person of morals? Or is he the type of person who can get seduced by an Isha Zona for a little pleasure? So the Zona actually is really on whose team? She's on the team of the king. Her job is to tempt the prince in every which way, to try to get him to crack. But really, she's rooting that he won't crack. And the king is rooting that he won't give in. And the prince, of course, right, in a moment of clarity, would never want to make such a mistake, which would make him unworthy of being the king one day, of being part of the royal family. So everyone's really on the same team. So when the king commands the Zona to what? To seduce him. And she's operating b'mitzvas hamelech again, and she's trying to get him to cling to her. If he does, again, ein mizeh nachas ruach la'zona. The Zona doesn't like that. That's not good. That's a bad end. That's a bad end. Maybe that's what Rabbi Nachman meant when he started this piece, where he said, it never ends well for the person who clings to the world. The world is the trick. Don't fall for the trick. Rakish mizgaber ben ha-melech v'go'erba, but when the ben melech rejects her, and he's go'erba, he chased her, what are you, sick woman, get away from me. I would never do such a thing. I'm a prince. I'm a person of values. I'm a person who understands the sanctity of the intimacy. I'm not going to cheapen it. It's in a lowly, disgusting way. I would never fall for that. V'docho asa, and he pushes her away. V'mahamoros, right? He pushes her away with tremendous strength and confidence. Oz misorer nachas ruach la'aviv hamelech, u'mishalim schar lebeno, v'gam lahazona meitav ba'avuro, she'asa sa ritzono la'asiso, v'lo yachlalo, v'nasa nachas ruach la'amelech. When the prince says no, the king is happy. The Zona gets paid an even bigger reward. Right? The king says, if my son, God forbid, commits this act and sleeps with you, so I'm going to pay you $1,000 for playing the part. But if he says no, again, you have to do an honest job to seduce him. But if he says no, I'm going to be so overjoyed, I'm going to pay you $10,000. And the Ben Melech also gets presents for being a strong person, a person of character. So everyone wins. The prince is happy, and the Zona is happy, and the king is happy. Right? Everyone wins. It's nachas ruach for everyone when the Ben Melech makes the right choice. V'chein ha-nimshol la-ha-yetzahara. The same thing is true. The Yetzahara is paid. Shemafate sa'adam. He's paid to seduce us. Mikol makom. His desire is not that we should listen to him. His desire is that what? That we should reject him. V'lachein amru, and therefore the Gemara says in Bava Basra, or five lines from the bottom, Yored umesis ola umakatrik. He comes down, he seduces, he tries to get us to sin, and then he goes up, and he what? And he tells on us. Achein oz nasa pulaso be'emes kishmafata la'adam, v'lo yachalo v'nis ora nachas ruach liotreinu, v'oz gam hayetzar hara lokeach scharo, mishalim ba'avur shehu garam hanachas ruach. So yes, the job of the Yetzer Hara is to try to get us in trouble. Right? But when we are victorious over the Yetzer Hara, he gets a bigger reward. The Yetzer Hara is happy. He's a Malach Hashem. He's on Hashem's team. Hashem is happy. We're happy. And everyone wins. So he says, three lines at the bottom, Kamo should be arti, the Gevaldik Pshat. Kamo should be arti ala pasuk, vayomer Haman bilibo. Of course, Haman is symbolic of the Yetzer Hara. Haman was a real person, but he's also symbolic of the Yetzer Hara. Haman says in his heart, "Lemi yachpot hamelech lasos yakar yoser mimeni." Who does the king want to reward more than me? So if you think about that from the Yetzer Hara standpoint, what are they talking about? The Yetzer Hara says, "Who does God like more than me? Why does God like the Yetzer Hara?" Because Yetzer Hara, you're the one who more than anyone can prove how beautiful and how strong and how committed and how pure the Jewish people are. Because when they reject you, right, we make a party, we celebrate. So he says, Mimeni daika. There's no one who gives more honor to the king, Mimeni, than from me. My role, again, playing that delicate role of playing the part of Yetzer Hara, there's no one who's in position to give more nachas ruach to Hashem than me. Every time I lose, Hashem is overjoyed. Klomar shekol hanachas ruach ba al yedei apitoy mimeni. That it's all through my seduction and my poor guidance, and hopefully the strength of the Jewish people to reject me, that gives honor to Hashem. V'imkein yeshlo l'shalim li kol yakar gedula. So therefore, the Yetzer Hara says, "Yeah, I deserve to get paid a lot. I'm playing a very important role amongst the angels of the infinite angels of Hashem's upper worlds." Okay, so now so let's answer the question. So why did the Malach go to sing Shira? What's the Kashrus Magid saying? Why did Sar Shel Esav leave in the middle of the fight against Yaakov to go and sing to God? Because it was the first time anyone really defeated the Yetzer Hara. When we learned so many lessons from that. First of all, Yaakov defeated the Yetzer Hara. He was also injured. He was also beat up. The end of a boxing match, Bahavdil, both fighters are beat up, but one is crowned the champ, and one is not. One is smiling through his, you know, as he's spitting blood in his puffy eyes, but one has a big smile as he, you know, lifts up the whatever, and the other one is sulking in the corner. Why? They both look beat pretty bad, but the answer is, but one of them's a winner. So when Yaakov defeats the Sarah Shal Esav, he's beat up, he's limping, but he won. And you know who's celebrating his victory? His enemy, celebrating his victory. Why? Because the enemy's not really his enemy. His enemy is really a Malach Hashem Tzavakos, a Malach of Hashem, in disguise, who's paid to fight against him. But when you beat me, I get the privilege, by the angels it's a big privilege, to sing Shira before the Rabbonu Shalom. I fulfilled my mission. If I beat you, then I haven't fulfilled the inner intent of my mission. If I am defeated by you, if Yaakov beats the Malach, so then we all celebrate. And the Malach sings Shira. So here's what I want to say. Let's go back to the mashal of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman said, people spend their whole life, you're chasing after the Yetzer Hara, and you're running around, yeah? You're running around, and you're chasing after him. And finally, he opens his hand, again in Sichos Aran Vav, back in source number 2. He opens his hand, and what's in his hand? Chaver, what's in his hand? There's nothing in his hand. So mean. I thought you were a good guy, Yetzer Hara. So even in his worst moments, he is a good guy. You know why? Because you know what the Yetzer Hara is showing you? He's actually giving you the answer. When he opens his hand, he's giving you the answer. What's the answer? What's he tell? He's actually giving you the answer. You think you wasted all this time chasing after him, and he just misled me. He's just so evil. But we just learned that he's actually, but Omek, he's really a good guy. In the depths, he's really a good guy. He's on my team. So what's he showing me? What's he teaching me? So first of all, he's a good Rebbe. He's showing me very clearly, on the most partial level, he's showing me that the world is, that the pleasures of the world are nothing. Right? Meaning at the end of the day, he doesn't give you like an okay prize so that you're still confused. The Yetzer Hara is a good Rebbe. Me oivai techakmeni. From my enemies, I become wise. First of all, he's showing me that you shouldn't think that the pleasure of the world is going to get you even 25% of your pleasure. It's going to get you nowhere, literally nowhere. He shows you nothing. But maybe more than that, maybe he's showing you what? Maybe when he shows you nothing, he's saying that is the answer to what you're looking for. You need to be mevatel yourself to what? To the ayin, to the nothingness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You need to be mevatel yourself to the ein sof. Right? Maybe that is the answer. Right? The answer is that surrender to Hashem, the nothingness. All the things you're pursuing are not. Maybe he's teaching you. He opens his hand. He's showing you the answer. He's showing you the emptiness, the sacred nothingness of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. That's called Ayin. Strange word. Ayin means nothing. But Ein Sof, infinity of Hashem. That's what he's teaching you. He's showing you. Right? So on the one hand, yes, his job is to torture you. His job is to make you chase him around. But the sooner you open up his hand, you actually get the answer. He says, look, the answer is what? The answer is attach yourself to the Ein Sof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The answer is that this world has nothing to offer you. So really, the Yetzer Hara is a tremendous teacher. He's not a bad guy. On the surface, he's a bad guy. But Pnimius, he's a really good guy. And the sooner we can open up that hand and find out that there's nothing inside, the sooner we can get ourselves on track. The Yisa Bracha, the Majid Sarevi, actually quotes this piece of Sichos Aran, interestingly enough. Unusual to usually see in the Sfarim like that they quote Rabbi Nachman. But the Issa Bracha quotes from Rabbi Nachman, and he says that's the pshat of the pasuk in Devarim when it says when Klal Yisrael are told, how long are you going to camp around the mountain? Pnu lachem tzafona. Right beginning of Chumash Devarim. Right? Rav lachem sheves. It's been a long time since you've been camped out by the har. Pnu lachem tzafona. Which literally means turn northward and travel on from the mountain. But the way that the Yisa Bracha, the Majlis Rebbe, explains it, right? The har, Yitzhar is dome lahar. Gemara says in Sukkah, the Yitzhar is compared to a mountain. So sometimes we're camped around the mountain. We're camped on the mountain, like we're waiting for the Yitzhar to reveal the big prize. And if he keeps his hand closed, we're just sitting there, wasting our life away, waiting to hopefully get that big pleasure that's, you know, that's wrapped up in his hand. So the avoda that Hashem, that Hashem gives us is Pnu lachem tzafona. Tzafon, of course, means north. But what does tzafun mean? What does tzafun mean? The afikomen is tzafun, right? Tzafun, the hidden. So therefore we say, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, right? Moshe, Hashem, say to Klal Yisrael, enough camping around the mountain. Stop waiting for the Yetzer Hara to have that big reveal as if he's got something in his hand that's going to actually be the answer. Pnu lachem tzafona, turn tzafuna, turn inward. Meaning open the hand, realize that there's nothing in there, and move on with your life. Because the longer you spend your life camped out, waiting for the big reveal, chasing the Yetzer Hara, that's what Rabbi Nachman was describing here. Right? Pnu lachem tzafona, turn inward. Try to solve the mystery so you don't end up spending your whole life chasing nothingness. Okay? But again, part of the answer is there's a holy nothingness called the Ein Sof of Hashem that the Yetzer Hara is actually trying to help you to discover. Okay? Let's go back to the top of the page. Again, Rabbi Nachman says, don't be fooled by the world. Don't be misled by the world. Okay? Let's keep reading in the first paragraph. Actually, we'll take it from the top again. Okay? Azet tekablu meiti, please accept this advice from me. Shalo lahaniach atzmo la'olam lahatos. Don't allow the world to deceive you. Shalo yato so ha'olam, ki lo nimtza echad she'el lokeitz v'sof tov. No one ever had a good ending min ha'olam, from the world. For more and more involvement in the world, it never ends well. It's just a big void. And the nothingness of the world has to be transformed into what? Into the void, the nothingness, the bittul, to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I once read a quote from a physicist. It's good for those of us who are learning. I may have said the quote earlier this year. It's a good quote, though, for those who are learning Bava Kama. Right? He said, a hole is nothing at all, a bore. Right? Talking about how you magdir a bore. A bore, he says, a hole is nothing at all, but you can break your neck in it. A hole is nothing at all, but you can break your neck in it. You can kill yourself in it, and there's nothing there. Right? It's important that way to think. The Yetzer is nothing, his mom is nothing, but he can kill you, he can destroy you. He's not even your enemy, he's your best friend. He's not literally your best friend. He's on your team, much more than we know it. But if I'm not careful, it can destroy me. So that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. The world is also your friend. The world is your friend, but if you don't know, if you're misled by it, if you're confused by it, if you're deceived by it, it will mamish destroy you. V'chol b'nei adam shahayu, afilu osan shetafsu b'adam kol ha'olam ha'azakulam. And all people that ever were, even those who had a complete grasp on the world. So you'd think like, okay, maybe the world's not giving me what I need because it's just, I haven't found it yet. I have, you know, a 50% grasp on the world. But as I continue to immerse myself more in it, then it will satisfy. So Rabbi Nachman says, even those people had a grasp on the whole world. Hayasofam ra ma'od. It's mamish a dead-end street. Gam ludore doros kilkulu vehifsidu. And sometimes their connection to the world creates damage for generations. Vafilu umos ha'olam tzrichem leida mizeh. And even non-Jews need to know this. Even non-Jews need to know it. Because non-Jews also have a shlichus in this world. It's a different shlichus. It's a different avoda. 613 versus Shemitz is b'nei noach is a different avoda. But there's no human being in the world who's supposed to spend his life involved in all sorts of silliness. Everyone's supposed to live meaningfully and purposely. such an important response. People say, like, why would God, like, you know, only give meaningful existence to the Jewish people? It's not true. Hashem expects the whole world to live in a purposeful and meaningful way with rules. Okay, Hashem needed to assign a few people, right, to be, so to speak, the government. Not everyone can be the government. Small percentage of people who are dictating to everyone else the rules. Right? But everyone is expected to play by some rules. Hashem wants every human being on planet Earth to live a meaningful existence. So it says Rabbi Nachman, the Ummah Sa'olim need to know this. They need to be informed of the dangers of the world. They need to know what to do. The world is not it. So don't spend your whole time just pursuing the world and its pleasures and its offerings. To be able to know what to do, it takes tremendous siyata d'shmaya. Liskos leida matzrichim lasos. To know what you need to do. To know what you need to do. It's very hard. Ach Yisrael ein tzrichim lezeh, but Baruch Hashem, for us it's much easier. We don't need that same degree of divine intervention necessarily to figure it out, because we already had that divine intervention to help us figure it out. It's called the Torah. Ki kvar him yod demah lasos al yidei Torah. Hashem already told us how to figure it out because He gave us the guidebook. Right? But the people of the world, it's much harder for them. It's an interesting question. You know, how are they supposed to even know what Hashem wants from them? Well, Bava Terebi had a Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach campaign. Dafka, to teach the world. You also have to live purposefully. Right? And the Jewish God is also your God. Again, it's a different type of relationship that you have, and that's fine. You're welcome to join us if you want. There's no expectation to. It's very demanding. But the expectation is that you're going to live a meaningful life. You're not going to live a life of nothingness, of hefkeros. That's certainly not the goal. Okay? Rabbi Nachman continues in the next little paragraph, and he says, I'm just going to summarize a little bit because I want to move ahead. Rabbi Nachman says, the world tells you not to pursue big things, but I say you should pursue the biggest thing and you should find the biggest tzaddik to attach yourself to. Okay, that's a deep statement and require a lot of explanation, because that's not the topic of this morning's shir, so I'm going to leave it as is for now. Let's go to the third paragraph. Ukeneged hataivos hamatridim es ha'adam. Okay, I'm still in source number one, but in the third paragraph. Ukeneged hataivos hamatridim es ha'adam be'emes ein nimsa shum taiva klal. This is a very interesting idea. Rabbi Nachman says, with regard to the pleasures that distract a person, Rabbi Nachman says, you should know that they're not taivas at all. You should know that they're not taivas at all. What do you mean they're not taivas? They're not bad. They're not bad things. Ki achila ushesia hu hechreach lekiyum haguf. Eating and drinking, how can that be bad? God makes it that your body needs to eat and drink. Right? A person says, I have sexual desires. That's okay. Gam banim uchachim leholid. You need to have children. It's a mitzvah. That's also fine. That's normal. And all these things are of necessity. So these are not taivas. They're not evil. We don't believe in our priests or our monks being celibate. That's not the goal. They're not taivas. They don't have to be bad. However, but you need to learn how to use them in the right way. That's such an important idea. And it fits so beautifully in what he's presenting so far. Right? What were the three pieces we had so far? Watch out for the world. It might try to destroy you. I very quickly told you, he says, a person should find the biggest tzaddik he can attach himself to. And three, realize that the taivas of the world are not taivas in a bad sense. You just need to learn how to use them in a way of kedusha and tara. What's Rabbi Nachman saying? He's saying a very reasonable system of living. Right? If you're not going to be on guard, the world will definitely destroy you, and they will be taivas, and your whole life can be the pursuit of achila and shasiya and tashmish hamita and all of the physical and engagements of reality. However, if you're smart and you lift yourself up a little bit and you attach yourself to a tzaddik, a rebbe, someone to guide you, someone to point you in the right direction, then you can actually learn how to be a person in the world. You can learn how to function in the world. You can learn how to engage in the things that, of necessity, your body demands, and it's Hashem who programmed you that way, but to do it in a way of Kedusha V'Tara. And then the world, again, doesn't become an enemy, a threat to you, but it becomes what? A Dira B'Tachtonim, a beautiful place to express Elokus, Kedusha, Tara, and all that you do. Okay? But it takes what? It takes mental strength. Let's keep reading. V'haseichel shala'adam yachol la'amod k'neged kol ha'tayvos. Man's mind has the ability to withstand all of the temptations. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yohev chachmasa l'chakimin. Because Hashem gives wisdom to the wise. Which means the fact that Hashem invested a piece of Himself, kiviyachol, your neshama, in you, in your body, that means Hashem obviously thinks this is doable. It's realistic. It can be done. It's not easy, but it can be done. Ki yesh l'chol echad chachma b'koach. Everyone has wisdom. Everyone has intellect and potential. But you need to use it. We can outsmart. We're smart enough to beat the Yetzirah, right? We're also smart enough to choose lettuce over French fries. But when we're not thinking straight, you know, we make the less healthy choice. And when we're tired, and when we're not focused, right? So we're smart. It's not that we think. Come on, we're smart enough. However, we're all smart enough to defeat Sarah Shal Esav. If Yaakov could do it, that means all of Yisrael could do it. We can all do it. But we have to think. The intellect that you were born with, you have enough natural wisdom and ability and intellect. Your brain is smart enough from the way that you were created. In addition to whatever additional wisdom God has given you from the day you were born until today, it's within your grasp. Without all the bonuses you've received over the last 20 years of your life, just the basic program, that programming system that God programmed into your body when you started, it's big enough to defeat the Yetzer. You're a Jew. You have a neshama. That's an infinite power. That's an awesome and infinite power. And even if you've lost the first couple of rounds, and you're falling behind, and you've given into this world a little bit, va'avar masha avar, v'nifkam sichlo, what was, what happened, and your seichel has been damaged, v'nizbabel v'nismayit, and now you've entered into a state of small-mindedness where you say ridiculous things like, I can't do this, it's too hard, what are you talking about? You have an neshama, infinite energy, you have a nuclear power plant inside you, what are you talking about? You can't do it. I can't get up for davening anymore. You have a nuclear power plant inside of you. What does that mean? What are you talking about? What crazy talk is that? The same way the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt from a tiny pach shemen. Yeah? So the little bit that you have left, even if you think, my gas tank is on empty, there's always a couple drops left. The light's been on for a while, you know? I need fuel. All right, but take that little bit that's left, that tiny drop of seichel that you have left inside of you, even if you've lost quite a few battles, is enough to defeat the Yetzirah. V'afilu nekuda achas min haseichel, one drop of elukus, one drop of godliness, one drop of neshama, of seichel, yechol olam od neged kol ha'olam matayvos, could take on the whole world. And that's why Yaakov went back for that pachim katanim. Yaakov went back to teach that, yeah, a little pach katan could defeat the Yetzer Hara, could defeat the Satan. Uvechol makom shehu, yecholim lios smuchin la'Hashem yisbach. And wherever you are, continues Rabbi Nachman, wherever you are, you can be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that place. Va'ayin b'makom acher, shegam b'sh'ol tachtis chas v'shalom, yecholim l'iskar v'lov yisbach la'ab yisbach be'emes. Wherever you find yourself, you can immediately bring Hashem. Again, he's giving you another technique. You feel like, I'm all alone on the battlefield. I'm running out of supplies. There's no supplies left. There's no one here to help me. So Rabbi Nachman says, wrong and wrong. First of all, you're never going to run out of supplies. There's always a little bit left in the tank. A little bit, I promise you, says Rabbi Nachman, is more powerful than the whole world. Aleph. You think there's no one here to help you? Also wrong. Also, no, I'm out in the wilderness. There's no one, I'm cut off from the rest of the army. Except for Hashem. Hashem is right by your side every step of the way. So therefore, even if you immediately be called to your side, right, to stand by your side, to help you. Anova Amar, Rabbi Nachman said, O shetzvichin lezer achmanas mi Hashem yisparach, sometimes it takes Hashem's mercy upon you, o yegios va'avodos, or it takes your own efforts, or maybe it's both. Try a little harder and ask for a little more help. Work harder in your service of Hashem and also ask Hashem to help you. Until you're able to settle the noise of the mind, the things that are distracting the mind. Until you get to a point where the world is not, again, the tzaddikim are not overwhelmed by the world. Because those of us who are still playing around with it, we're getting into trouble. The tzaddikim, they laugh at the world. Yeah, the world's good. You know? It's weird. Last time I was by Rav Itcher Meyer, he had a bot who was drinking. He was drinking Coca-Cola. Someone told me he doesn't drink water because, like, water is too pure. It's right. He doesn't drink water. It's what? I don't know. Some Indian, right? Okay. But the bottom line is you're drinking Coca-Cola. Like what? How does a tzaddik drink Coca-Cola? You're like beyond Coca-Cola. But the answer is like nah. But the tzaddik like. You can drink Coca-Cola and also be Rav Itcher Meyer, you know what I mean? There's a certain level of being able to just, I'm okay in the world, even though I'm not b'chlal in this world. So there gets to a point through my efforts, through Hashem's rachmanis, I don't want anything from the world. But I can drink Coke, and it's not like a taiva, you know? It is what it is. V'yakol shava etzlo, and it's all equal by me. There's a certain level that a person can get to. And he concludes the piece by quoting the psukim in Mishlei. Bishalecha tancha usach v'shachbucha tishmor alecha v'akitzosa hi tisichecha. The final paragraph of source number one. What does it mean? Hainu shakol shavet. To make everything equal. How does that work? Listen to what he says. V'ein shum chilak bein ha'olam hazeh u'bein ha'kever u'bein ha'olam haba. When I'm with Hashem, wherever I am, it's all equal. Where am I now in this world? I'm with Hashem. Where am I after I die? I'm with Hashem. Where am I in Olam Haba? I'm with Hashem. I'm always with Hashem. Bisalecha tancha osach. Through the hiluch, through my travels, when I'm traveling through this world. Right? How am I with Hashem? HaTorah. The Torah takes me with Hashem. V'chein b'chashach v'cha tishmor alecha. When I'm lying down, which means lying down for good in the grave, shesham b'shachvucha b'kever, sham gam kein Hashem yizbarach v'atorah. When I'm no longer alive, I'm also with Hashem. V'akitzosa, and when I'm reawakened, tchias amesim olam haba, I'm also with Hashem. K'me'acher she'ein lo shum taiva v'ratzon klal, l'shum davar, rak l'Hashem yizbarach v'atorah. Because when I can really say that my life is truly defined by my relationship with Hashem, my relationship with Torah, and there's really nothing else that's moving me away, God forbid, from that point of connection. Nimsa shakol shavetzlo. So you don't freak out. You don't freak out when bad things happen. You don't become haughty when good things happen. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, the way the Baal Shem Tov learned it. I spoke about this at Stern College about 4 weeks ago. About hishtavus hanefesh. Having a certain equanimity of soul. Right? When something comes up and something didn't work, it's okay, I'm with Hashem. When I get the really good job, also it doesn't go to my head, I don't become a bald guy, I don't lose myself in it. The ups, the downs, I'm able, wherever I am, I'm with Hashem. And that's what this pasuk in Mishlei is saying. When I'm walking, b'salecha tancha usach, b'shach v'cha tishmor alecha, v'akitzosa hi tisichecha, at every stage of life, I'm walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His Torah. Ki mi shemekusher b'olam hazeh yesh chiluk. Think about it. If you're a person of this world, death is terrifying. In this world, there's such a big, expansive world. I can go on vacations, I can travel, I can see. There's so much space. And the thought of one day being put into a little box or just being put into the ground, that's terrifying. Right? A place of such narrowness. That's if you think the world is a big place. Right? And the kever is a narrow place. But if this world is nothing but the infinite light of Hashem, and the kever is nothing but the infinite light of Hashem, and the olam haba is nothing but the infinite light of Hashem, if ein ol mavad, if there's only Hashem, then there's always plenty of space, there's plenty of yishuv adas, there's no makom tsar, there's no feeling trapped, that's gullus, mitzrayim, mitzarim, beinu mitzarim. Aval mishin is dachich mocha, but one who clarifies his mind, who cleanses his mind, ve'ein lo shum shemarim b'malach, and he doesn't have any sediment literally sediment, like at the bottom of the bottle of wine. In his mind, Hakol Shava Etzlo Kenizkel Eyal. And there's a certain, again, Hishtavas HaNefesh that the person experiences, and he can engage the world. He's connected to Tzaddikim, who taught him how to engage the world. The Taivas of this world are not destructive. He sees them as necessary. And not only that, he sees them as holy. And he's able to not be fooled, to not be tricked. And that's Rabbi Nachman's opening, again, concern. We shouldn't be tricked by the world. It's very easy to fall for the trick of the world. So Hasemis writes, turn to side 2 of the page. So Hasemis writes in Parsha Shlach, on the words, Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem, we quote this all the time, but let's see it inside. Rashi says, what does it mean, don't stray after your eyes and your heart? These are the two meraglim of the guf. These are the spies of the guf. When the spies came back from Eretz Yisrael, and they gave their bad report, it wasn't a not true report. It just lacked a certain depth of understanding. They just presented everything superficially, what they saw. The big giants in the land of Israel, will never be able to conquer it. Right? They forgot the deeper dimensions of what they were seeing. So it explains the Sfas Emes in Parsha Shlach. When the Torah says, don't stray after your eyes, and don't stray after your heart. The Gemara says, eyes, heart, refers to what? It refers to arayos, it refers to minos, heresy, right? Don't be tempted by the pleasures of the world, but it's much deeper than that. It says the Sfas Emes, Zed davar gadol, lios nimshach tamir achar apnimius, shelo letor el istaklis hachitzonius, shenir le'enei basar kach o kach. Don't see things superficially. Don't be tricked by the world. If you look at the world superficially, you're in big trouble. But if you can look more deeply and see something more, the world is filled with the Rabbonu Shalom. It's filled with Elokus. Rabbi Shmuel Braun, you can listen to this year online. Rabbi Shmuel Braun, in his Monday class that he started giving here, this past Monday, he spoke about, imagine a professor of art, world expert in Rembrandt. So imagine they discovered this painting from Rembrandt. And they put it on display, and who's going to look at it? They're going to do like the big reveal, you know, they pull off the cover from the piece of art. And who's standing there? There's the professor of art, this world expert, his whole life has been dedicated to studying art. And you have a college student who took a couple art appreciation classes, who knows a thing or two, can identify a few artists, a few painters. Right? And then you have like a 6-year-old kid. So they pull off the cover, and now everyone's looking at this piece of art. So Rabbi Braun said, are they seeing the same thing? They're all looking at the same piece of art. Are they seeing the same thing? The college professor, whose whole life is dedicated to a mastery of an understanding of the painter and his work. A college student who took a couple basic intro classes, art appreciation, right? And the 6-year-old kid. Are they all seeing the same painting? The answer is no. They're all looking at the same painting, but they're all seeing something different. The 6-year-old kid says, this is boring, like, can we go, you know, like, why isn't it moving, right? And the college student says, I can recognize studying the pnimius of it. He sees so many things that he can't explain it to a 6-year-old, right? They're staring at the exact same thing, so why does one see it and one not see it? Because different perspective. So it says the Torah, Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei einechem. There are people who look at the world and they see what? They see a big, you know, jungle gym of taiva. And the people who see a world that's overflowing with the light of Hashem. It's a question of what you see. It says the Sfas Emes, don't see things superficially. If you see the world superficially, Rabbi Nachman says it's going to destroy you. If you have a superficial relationship with the Yetzer Hara, he turns out to be your enemy. If you study him deeply, he's a malach and he's on your team. When the Yetzer Hara is tempting you, say to him, it's an amazing technique. Say it to your Yetzer Hara. Say it out loud. I challenge you to say it out loud. And come back to me after it happened and tell me you did it and tell me it worked. Say it to the Yetzer Hara. Say it out loud. Don't just think it. Say it out loud. Yetzer Hara, I know what you're trying to get me to do, and you're doing a really good job because that's what you're paid to do, but I also know, whisper in his ear, I also know that you're actually on my team. And I know you don't want me to do this. You'll see, it gets so much easier to fight him on those terms once you make him a friend, not an enemy. But you have to look with an omek. You have to look deeply. Not to trick yourself. And not to be tricked by things around you. There's a beautiful var from the Rebbe Rabbuno of Reshischa. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bahar, in source number 4, V'chisimchu mimkar la'amisecha, o kona miyad amisecha, altonu ish esachiv. What does altonu mean? Tonu, interesting. It's similar to the word ona, or the term ona in a halachic context. It's actually similar to the word of the enemy we just defeated on Chanukah, Yavan. It's related to the word tonu. In some deep way, the Svarim connect that. What is ona? Deception. Al tonu ish esachiv. Don't deceive your friend. When you're buying and selling, says the Pasuk, don't deceive your friend. A couple of psukim later, v'lo tonu ish es amiso, don't deceive members of your nation. V'yareisim yalokecha, ki ani Hashem alokechem. Don't try to trick people. Hashem says, I'm watching. Okay. Says the Rebbe Rabbuna of Prashischa, quoted in the Sefer Mima Ayanos HaNetzach in Parshas Bahar, chasid mihu, who's a chasid? Says the Rebbe Rabbuna, ma'osa lichnim mishura sadin, a person who goes above the letter of the law. So what is the letter of the law in these two psukim? Don't deceive your friend. Don't deceive a brother. Don't deceive someone from your people. What does it mean to go lifnim mishura sadin? What does it mean to go above the law? Again, the letter of the law is don't trick the guy next to you. What does it mean to go lifnim mishura sadin? What does it mean to go above and beyond, to be a chassid? It does a little more. Emor mi'ata, darash Rav Simcha Buna mi'prashischa. Rav Simcha Buna mi'prashischa said, shelo yone adam acherim zehu adin. The din is don't trick your friend. Lifnim mishura sadin, shelo yone es atzma. Don't trick yourself. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says don't trick someone else. But you know what's an even higher level going above and beyond that? We understand why it's wrong to trick my friend. It's easier to, but it's a lot harder. It takes a chassid to not deceive himself, to be able to see things more deeply. And the context of the pasuk is v'yareisa mi'alokecha. Don't trick yourself in the context of what? Of your spirituality, of your ruchnias. The Bnei Yisrael wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Agra Dekala. We have three sources left. The Agra Dekala in source number 7 says that when the pasuk says v'yareisa mi'alokecha, when it comes to mekachu memcha, buying and selling, don't deceive. You know who it's talking to? V'yareisa mi'alokecha. If it's talking about spirituality, so what's the buying and selling? You know what the buy and the sell is? Right now I'm selling and you're buying. That's what's happening right now. I'm selling Torah and you're buying it, or you're not buying it. I might be selling it in a dishonest way, and you might be buying it in a dishonest way. Or I might be selling it in an honest way, and you're buying it in an honest way. Says the Bnei Yisaschar, says Rav Tfili Melech of Dinov in source number 7, the Rebbe has to make sure that when he's giving over Torah, he's not tricking his students. He's trying to give them honest Torah, real Torah. And what about from the perspective of the buyer, he says, in the last line, second to last line, V'chein ha'azhara ala kona hainu ha'talmid, shelo yona es harav. Don't tell the Rebbe you understand if you don't understand. Sheyomer shemavin ve'eno maven. That's not honest. That doesn't help either of us. Right? Be honest. Don't try to trick your Rebbe, because tricking your Rebbe is really tricking yourself. Don't deceive yourself. It's true about not being tricked by the world, but a person is a world. Don't be tricked by your own world. Understand yourself well. Be honest. If I don't understand what's going on in Shir, so ask. Ask a question. Right? And if the Rebbe doesn't know the answer to your question, hopefully the Rebbe has the humility to say, you know what, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't have to pretend I know the answer. If I don't know, I don't know. Maybe we can look it up together. I don't know. Maybe I don't even know where to look. That's what it means when the pasuk says, v'lo sonu ishas amiso. When it comes to the buying and selling of your race elokecha, of godliness, make sure you do it in an honest way. Rav Tzvi Hirsch, who was one of the Rebbes of Rimanov, he's known as the Masharis of Rimanov. He was first he was a shamish and then he became a rebbe. So he said to in source number 6, Amar lechavero achrei petiras harevi berupshitz. He said after the rupshitzer passed away, lo sonu ishas amiso. You could read the word amiso with an ayin, but you could also read it with an aleph. Lo sonu ishas amiso. Don't deceive your own truth. Don't be dishonest to your own truth. Be true to who you are. And again, it takes tremendous honesty. Midas Adin, don't trick other people. Lifnim Mishura Sadin, don't lie to yourself, don't trick yourself. Okay, so we conclude today with Rabbi Nachman one last time in what's known as the Shir Naim, which is a beautiful introductory poem that's printed at the beginning of Likutei Moran. in source number 8. It's written as a beautiful poem spelling out the letters of Rabbi Nachman's name. One of the stanzas that begins with the letter Ches, it says the following. Chazak v'nischazek. Be strong and be stronger. Va'al tia kapil gadol v'kagamal. And don't be like what? What's a peel? An elephant, a big elephant. Or like a camel. Afilu kishemashchayu b'chotmo ha'achbar lo yivat bo. Don't be like a big elephant who's scared of a mouse. Because the world is really much smaller than you. It looks much bigger than you, but it's really a lot smaller than you. Compared to your neshama, it's much smaller than you. You look at that little pach katan. I'm going to defeat the malach with pachim katanim. Yes, Yaakov went back for pachim katanim and defeated the malach. That little bit of oil. You're much bigger. Don't be like an elephant that is foolishly, irrationally scared of a little mouse. They can't even fight back against a little mouse. Or like a camel that's frightened by a little mouse. And all of that is foolishness. It comes from a person who doesn't know his own strength. Rather, I should be smart, like Rabbi Nachman keeps telling us here. Use the koach ha-seichel, a drop of seichel, a drop of neshama, can be docha the entire world of the Yetzirah. So strengthen yourself and be smart. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be Jews who know what we have inside of ourselves. We should understand the power that we have. Lo'odia levnei adam gvurosav doesn't just mean, as the Slonimer Tzaddikim explained, lo'odia levnei adam gvurosav doesn't mean just make known to man the strength of God. Lo'odia levnei adam gvurosav, let man know his own strength. When a person knows his own strength, then he's zochet to defeat the world and defeat the Yetzihara and to live a life of Yeshiva Das and great success. Okay? All right. Thank you, Yetzihara, for being our best friend. In disguise, of course.